Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats. You're winning a pair of tickets to the weekend. It's the After Hours Tour. Saturday, August 2nd, Northwest Stadium with Playboi Carti and Mike Dean. Tickets are on sale Friday, February 7th at 10 a.m. For tickets and more event information, please go to 1067thefan.com. Hey, Danny, I am a outdoor venue guy. I don't like going to concerts indoors if I can help it.
Yep, I'm with you on that.
So Northwest Stadium is actually a really good venue. I've seen Paul McCartney there. I've seen Luke Combs there, who I didn't know anything about until I saw him. But he put on a good show. It might be it. I don't know if I've been to any other concerts.
Big concert guy. More than me.
Concert guy. No, you go to a lot of concerts.
No, I mean, at Eastern Northwestern Stadium in Landover, Raoul John Stadium.
Bank of D.C. Yeah. First concert. We're at dinner. This came up the other night. We went around the table and talked about it. I didn't know how to answer because when you're asked what was the first concert you ever went to, if your parents brought you to a concert when you were a little kid, does that count? Or is this concert I bought tickets for because I was excited to go see someone play?
Yeah, I think it's that. It's like your first concert without, you know, maybe there was supervision, but it was like, hey, I want to go to this. And you were the driving force instead of your parents couldn't find a babysitter.
Right. Well, my first concert with my parents is actually a banger. It's Beach Boys with John Stamos at King's Dominion. You sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Beach Boys with John Stamos playing the bongos?
That's awesome.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
I also went to see the band Chicago, which I don't think you have any file on.
I do. Pretty deep file on Chicago. Peter Cetera had his own little solo action. He had a title song from Karate Kid 2. Not a big deal.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
The only thing I know about Chicago, other than that I saw them in concert once in Pittsburgh many, many years ago, is they have a song about Saturday in the Park. That's my file.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay, and so those were my ones I remember with my parents. So my first concert then, if it's me buying the tickets and being excited to go, would have probably been Tenacious D. Jack Black and Kyle Gass getting after it.
Silly. That's a good one. Mine, freshman year, I went with Mike Dirksen, Bart Seaver, and would anybody else go? I can't remember if another
Bart
buddy of mine
Seaver went.
Yeah. Dude, you sleep on Bart Seaver's. National Geographic fellow, not a huge deal. Former chef, still a chef, I guess. If you don't actively chef, do you still get the title chef? Like, you know,
yes.
like you know what I mean? Like a guy that's a doctor that went to medical school that practices, if he doesn't practice anymore, he's still a doctor. Like, Bart owned multiple restaurants in the D.C. area. Over the years, and he kind of graduated to this like seafood sustainability role as a National Geographic fellow. But he's still a chef, right?
Because
he's chef
fellow. What is that? Is that a title?
Yeah, it's an official title. It's a title.
Are you being serious?
100%.
What is a National Geographic fellow, and why are you acting like I know what that is?
Well, I'm not. I couldn't tell you all the rights and roles and responsibilities. I know that he gets paid as like a guy that's like, we want you on the front lines to go explore and learn and research and advocate, and it's like you're part of these like you and me can't be fellows. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're really accomplished in an academically oriented global sustainability helping humankind kind of field, you can be a fellow. You're not like
National
respectfully you're not a fellow.
Society offers multiple fellowship programs.
There it is.
Does this mean that he went to a program with him?
He was so badass in kind of his space that they were like, I think this is how it went. I think they were like, hey man, we love what you're doing. You want to do it for us? You know what I mean? Like he is the guy. Like, for example, let's say you went to Whole Foods. Okay. and you're like, I want to eat healthy today. I would like to buy a fish. I want to eat some fish for dinner, and I want to be healthy. And you look at it, and they go, well, this is farm-raised. This is farm-stocked. This is wild-caught. This is a certain kind of stock-caught. No one knows what we're supposed to do. No one has any idea. There's no good messaging. There's no way to know, like, I wanted some fish, and I want to do the right thing, but I don't know which one I'm supposed to buy. He's the guy that tells you which one you're supposed to buy. He's the one that's fixing it, like big seafood sustainability guy.
Fellows will provide material for a blog on the National Geographic website.
There it is.
On a frequent and ongoing basis throughout their grant term. Fellows will have the opportunity to develop additional content for use by National Geographic and the U.S. Department of State.
He's an author. He's written several books. He's just, again, way better than us.
Sounds like a fellow to me.
He's a fellow. Anyway.
It's time for your Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. Let's run through some teams you care about. While we've been footballing
busy
at
little
Radio
bees.
Row, dude, the Wizards just keep making trades. And by the way, I actually think they've been moving and shaking in a pretty good way today. They gave up 4 second-round picks, which is the most NBA thing I've ever heard, and Jared Butler to the 76ers for a first-round pick. Now, this is a worst pick of basically pick swaps between the Clippers, the Thunder, and I think another team in 2026. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that that's going to be a particularly good first-round pick, but to me it seems like they're just getting as many first-rounders, regardless of where they are, as possible, because then you could package 2, 3, 4 of them into a much better first-round pick, you know, quantity for quality. They also then sent, this was this afternoon, a second-round pick to Memphis for Marcus Smart and a first-round pick, meaning the Grizzlies just really wanted to get out of Marcus Smart's contract, attached a first-round pick with a clothespin to his collar, and sent him to Washington for a number two. But how about my guy Will Dawkins and my guy Michael Winger to have pulled off two trades for two first-round picks today?
What you basically have is a big waste bin, or you've got land for your landfill. You guys want out of the Reggie Jackson deal, Philadelphia. We'll take on that bad contract. I think they've already waived him. You guys want out of the Marcus Smart business. No problem. We'll take your garbage as long as we get a little sweetener for it, those first-round picks that you mentioned. I thought there might actually be another move or two. I didn't hear any buzz around Jordan Poole. I thought maybe there would be. Didn't seem to be any energy towards doing that. That's something I would have tried to do to spin him to a contender. But, you know, whether it's lack of interest or maybe they want to keep him for a little bit longer, I don't know. But, yeah, they pretty much took everything that's not bolted down. There were a couple other bench guys, including Marvin Bagley, I think, that moved in that Memphis deal. But they are, as you said, acquiring assets. You do that for two reasons. One, to either make the picks, the first-round picks. Two, to have ammunition to move around the board in the first round. Or three, to be the team that's in a place where the disgruntled superstar in a year or two can come up and you go, we can actually make that move. We'll go get the name that player in his prime to pair him hopefully with one of these young kids, be it Cooper Flagg or Ace Bailey or Dylan Harper or whoever is up at the top of the board. So this is what you should be doing when you're losing already. Lose with a purpose. They are doing that. They're losing with a purpose. Not just winning 33 games to try to make a couple old school people happy. This is how it's done. Kudos to the front office.
Let's go to your hockey team on the ice tonight in Philly taking on the Flyers. A little homemade Beltway Blitz, Grant and Danny style. Alex Ovechkin has scored a goal in 3 consecutive games at Ottawa. A 3-point night with a couple of apples. Then in Winnipeg, this was a overtime loss. He scored a goal, had a point, was a -1. And then the Caps got back on the good foot, snapped a 2-game skid, and having lost 3 out of 4 with a 6-goal outburst, a 3-goal win against Florida at home. Going back a couple of nights ago, he scored a goal and was a +2. So Alex Ovechkin tonight, Danny, in Philly at the Wachovia Center. Right there, smack dab across from Lincoln Financial Field, home of the Eagles. We're getting ready for the Super Bowl. All in the same parking lot with Citizens Bank Ballpark.
Yeah, it's weird,
I was
man.
Just there a few days ago. The Caps tonight, 35-11-7 at the Flyers. Ovi looking for a 4th straight game with a goal.
Yeah, it's a bummer to see Philadelphia so low in the standings. You know what I mean? Like, it just, you hate to see it for that great sports town and all those fans who deserve so much better. Wait, I'm being told worse. I hope they lose every game, including tonight. And they lose forever. Those guys can all go to hell. Hell is the word I was looking for there. Hell.
That seems mean.
Yeah. Sure
it's
is.
Not, that's I feel like there's a nicer way to tell them to kick rocks. But, by the way, six goals, six different players scored against Florida. That was, I thought, an important game for the Caps, to be honest. They'd lost a couple straight, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. You know, they'd lost like three
out of their
last.
Yeah.
And then you're playing one of the better teams in the conference that is a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. And I think it's a measuring stick game. And to come out and finally explode, they had not been scoring, to get that many guys off of the Schneid scoring goals that hadn't in a while, you know, on the stat sheet, and to double up Florida, I thought was a huge deal.
Yeah, it matters. So it's all about responses. What do you do with prosperity, right? We talked about this with the football team for so many years. You win a couple of games, what do you do with the newfound attention and adulation? A lot of times it's a big step back. Well, what do you do with adversity? This is a 82-game grind, right? It is. Like, you're going to have bad nights. You'll have tough endings of road trips. The food didn't sit right with you. You didn't get enough sleep. You got bad travel logistics. The plane couldn't take off. The de-icing, whatever. Stuff happens. There are going to be lulls. How do you respond to those things? Really good teams like this one respond like they did the other night. I'm with you. Not all regular season games are created equal. After a couple overtime losses against quality opponents, that was good to see them play as good a game as they've played in a couple weeks.
Let's round out the blitz on the gridiron. Danny, how about the Grant and Danny radio program? The interview everybody's been talking about all over the country. Jaden Daniels. A full-length sit-down feature interview. He was reduced to tears by the quality of the questions. Mm. His parents wrote us letters after the interview saying thank you for the amazing opportunity for my son to share his story with America.
As far as we're concerned, you can submit that 43.9 seconds. Danny Award outlet. You could respectfully, Barrett Sports Media had us at the 11th afternoon drive radio show in the country. Sorry to everybody else. You're fighting for second place. Submit that to them. Let them judge us off of that. You see what I'm saying? I didn't even need to be part of it. You're driving all over New Orleans, dragging Darius around. Didn't matter. Your phone, Jaden Daniels, 43.9 seconds of actual, not actual gold.
I hadn't thought about that. You think we're going to win an award?
Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of award might we win for the best interview of the year?
Yeah, the best you can be award. Who's the best award? Yep.
Now, I know we only have about a minute left in the segment, so it would be insane to start the interview now to play for you guys. That wouldn't make sense because we've got a break coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But ladies and gentlemen, we live dangerously on this program.
I too like to live dangerously.
The greatest interview with Jaden Daniels you've ever heard in the history of the world. This is the entire interview we did with Jaden Daniels. But Jaden, you're one of the biggest stars in New Orleans over these last couple days. Everybody wants to talk to you. What's the experience been like so far?
It's been wild just to come out here and come back to Louisiana, obviously with some of my guys and my brothers. But, you know, it's a bittersweet moment being here. You know, obviously one game away from the Super Bowl, but it's fun. It's fun and exciting.
Have you had a chance to take inventory yet on just how amazing the season was and all that you accomplished?
A little bit, but not really. You know, I think once football season's done, I'll be able to really reflect.
When you look back at your year, what are you proudest of?
Just the excitement as a whole team that we brought back to the DMV area.
There it is.
Did it get cut off?
Nope, that's it.
No,
the interview.
No, there's like 15 more minutes.
Oh,
right?
That's true.
Toby, what happened to the rest of it?
We're going to post the entire interview on our website.
Toby said that was a teaser. That's what he told me.
Yeah, exactly. Denton last night is actually a good bit.
Yeah.
After Denton recorded it, which was nice of him, and did some video and stuff. And he's like, can we post this on social? Or I think he mentioned it. And I'm like, well, first of all, you can only post 1 minute at a time on Twitter. But, yeah, at least you can get that one tweeted. I was like, just say we're going to play the whole thing on the show tomorrow. And he's like, this is the whole thing.
That is the whole thing. Yeah.
I was like, yeah, good point.
Yeah, that's right, Double D.
But we did it. No one will ever be able to say we didn't get Jaden Daniels on the show when we were in New Orleans for the Grant and Danny program. Devin McCourty is scheduled to join us later this hour. I'm looking forward to that. Next, I went out on Bourbon Street last night with the boys, and I had a very awkward interaction with another member of the Odyssey family.
Oh.
Who's very close to me right now, so hopefully he doesn't hear me saying this. I'm going to tell Danny about it next on The Fan. If you're wondering, wait a second, this isn't the double play time. Well, you're right, but every day and every time is a good day and a good time for the double play. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealer. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. We do have Devin McCourty joining us in our final segment of the hour, coming up a little over 10 minutes from right now. He is everywhere in the media at this point, won Super Bowl championships with the New England Patriots, part of their dynasty. We get to ask him about the Chiefs trying to go where New England never went, which is a little bit awkward. Hey, three-peat. By the way, Danny, I was just reminded of something before we came back.
Uh-huh.
Darius and I, a couple nights ago, went out to dinner, and I got a pork chop, and Darius got a pork chop. And Darius ate about a third of the pork chop. Left it on the plate, handed it back to the waiter, and I just wanted you to know that that happened.
Okay. Darius, what went wrong there? What's wrong, buddy?
So this is exaggeration from one Grant Paulson. I would say if we're doing fractions, I would say I got through 3/4 of it.
Okay. The truth is in the middle. I'm going to say you ate about 67% of the pork chop.
No.
Yeah?
No.
8% less than Darius.
Exaggerating.
But Darius, what happened?
A lot of meat on that bone, Danny.
I just can't eat like I used to.
Oh, yeah.
I can't completely, mm-hmm. you know, be a complete, absolute pig slob like I've done at one point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
The portion was a bit much for me, I will say. I wasn't able to finish the final fourth of the 3/4.
Danny, you would have scoffed at this portion, just so you know.
Okay.
I mean, it was, you know what it was how much meat is normally on a pork chop.
Right, it's just a pork chop.
Right. Exactly.
Well, here's the thing, Darius. Little known fact, one of the first times Grant and I had dinner, we were in New York, and he ate maybe a quarter of his barbecue at the place we went. And that was a running bit for a while. That Grant Paulson sure can't finish his food. It's something that we did for a while. And
did I only eat a quarter of the barbecue?
Yeah. Well, in fairness, you'd eaten before, but that's
a good point.
The bit had already left the station. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
we're already mid-bit. We're not going to, like...
Look, actually, you know what's funny is give him the benefit of the doubt because he actually had a meal not too far beforehand. He wasn't really that hungry.
That's not as funny. It's way funnier to be like, yeah, Grant Paulson probably left a bunch of food on the plate, and then we'd all laugh and have a great old time.
Yeah, so he was just trying to pass that off on me, that's all.
I do remember that. I'm going to reposition myself to tell this quick story to Danny
because
we're right across the way from our friends from WIP in Philadelphia.
Okay.
But I do want to tell you about a little interaction last night. So we were out on Bourbon Street, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bumped into some of the fellows from BetQL, some of the fellows from IP, and we ended up hanging out with them for a little while. We had a fun time. We were at this cool dive bar. It had, you know, foosball tables and pool tables, all kinds of different games you could play. Good little spot. And so we were having a nice conversation. But I went up, and one of the guys from one of the Philadelphia shows said, sorry about us singing every day at 5:33, which I guess is the time that they do that big song here on Radio Row that
we
were having a little fun with a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And that was the interaction. Like, he came over and shook my hand and he said that. And I said, oh, no problem. It's not your fault.
It actually is
100% his fault,
yeah,
for the record. But I was just trying to be friendly guy. And I was like, it's not your fault at all, man. And he like doubled down. He's like, I'm sorry. Like, very seriously, like legitimately, as if something had happened to someone that I loved. He goes, I'm sorry. This was our first interaction ever. And I said, it's not your fault. I was like, serious, and I touched his shoulder. So we start talking shop, and we're talking Phillies. We're talking Nationals. He's asking me if Dylan Cruz is overrated. He thinks he's overrated. We're going round the horn. We had a great discourse, right? 20 minutes goes by, round of drinks. Everybody's having a good time. So then we circle back. This has been now a half hour later.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, why do you hate 5:33? I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah, what is that?
I said, what is 5:33? He goes, when we sing at 5:33, why do you hate that so much? Again, I thought we covered this. And I just kind of looked at him. I was like, oh, I really hate when people sing during rejoins, man. I think it's a really bad bit. Just like that.
Oh, man.
It was so awkward. And he's just like.
So word must have gotten back to him that we hated it.
Oh, it gets better. He goes, okay. And there's just kind of this awkwardness. He's like, yeah, we played the couple minutes of you guys talking about us on the show yesterday. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah. I said, I love a little cross-station synergy.
Yeah. I guess we are persona non grata up there now.
Just a big old happy family.
Yeah.
Like, It's not like we were telling a story about them in a, you know, glowing light where it's just like, you know, us and Philly, old pals.
And it's a fun rivalry. We play softball against each other. But at the end of the game, it's all fun. You know what I mean? We have a couple of pints. No, now it's a thing. Oh, crap.
Just joning so much. But you know what? I don't regret anything we said. I think everything we said was fair and honest. We were the Fair and Balanced Network. But the good dudes. The one I talked to, two of the three of them a bunch last night. I did not meet the third member of the crew, but all very nice, and I'm sure the third member of the crew is just as nice.
Yeah.
But it was just so awkward. Like initially coming up, I was clearly known as that guy, and he like comes up and he like shakes my hand and he's like, "Why do you hate it when we sing so much?" And I was like, "Ah, it's just not for me, man." And he's like, "But what?" 30 minutes later, still on his mind. We've talked about every sports team in D.C. and Philly. We're going around and around on Josh Harris. They hate him. We love him. You know, you name it, we discussed it.
Uh-huh.
And then still in the back of his head, he goes,
"What do you
so
hate?
What do you hate about 533? And that's when he drops the bombshell. "Yeah, we were listening to your show. We had the clip.
Oh,
we played
God.
A couple minutes." Now, to be fair, there are a lot of people around. We're literally 5, 6, 7 feet from them.
Sure, yeah.
Like
it's our radio row. Excuse me, media row. Media Row.
Media
thank
Row,
you.
Right.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'm sure all it took was one of them heard it and was like, "Hey, you guys got to hear these guys. We're mother bleeping you about your song."
Oof.
And then they figured it'd be fun to discuss. So now I think we got to go back and see what they said about
us. I'm sure they were ripping me and so-called funny Danny. That wasn't funny at all. Like, I'm sure there was some of that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm too uncomfortable now, and
dude,
I'm not there.
I will say, so two things right now that are hilarious. Number one, your name puts you in a terrible spot in all of these.
I know, for sure.
The
jerk's like, "Who calls himself that?" Like, I don't introduce myself that way. It's not like I walk up to a stranger and be like, "How's it going? My name's Funny Danny." No, I have a tough last name. And it, like, is synergy with my stupid website or whatever. It's just, like, a nice, catchy thing for people to remember. I don't know. But it's, like, to your point, yes. Like, you walk in with a bad spot.
But the other thing I was going to say is, respectfully, and I apologize in advance.
Uh-oh.
You are the worst in whatever these situations are,
whatever
too.
This is, yeah.
Like, if you were in that bar last night, it would have just been me talking and you being silent.
Head
and
down.
Or you are like Lloyd Christmas when Seabass throws the door open. You know? Like just pointing and staring. I mean, you got nothing.
Yeah, who's the dead man hit me with a salt shaker? And I'm just sort of pointing. Yeah.
I remember Radio Row. I think it was Radio Row.
It was in New York. I know exactly what you're going to bring up.
Was it New York?
Yeah.
So at that time, Danny was still doing or had just stopped doing his old thing with Holden and Danny where he did the Larry Michael broadcast, which was, frankly, one of the funniest things that's ever happened on this station and probably the funniest, certainly, feature that you've done on the station.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wildly popular and everybody loved it. But, you know, it kind of – I think you had gotten to a point where you're like, I don't know how much more material there is. It was a little uncomfortable, the whole thing with me, so I was like, I don't know.
They threatened anyway, to sue the station.
Yeah, that didn't help either. But he was at Radio Row, and I remember going up to him and going, "Larry, come over here." And as he's walking over, Danny goes, "Are you bleeping kidding me?
Yeah.
You're just going to bring him over here?" I'm like, "Yeah, I know him. He's a good guy. Like, it's fine." And you were just, like, beside yourself that I would even think.
Mortified.
To have him over near you.
He comes and goes, "Hey, there he is." And I'm like, oh, my, I want to crawl in a hole.
Danny didn't speak.
Yeah.
Like, I think you extended your hand very briefly and, like, looked straight down at your shoes.
Yeah, looked in the eye, shook his hand, and then looked down.
I've never seen someone more awkward.
Yeah.
And that's, like, it's so easy, man. You're just interacting now. The thing happened. We're all performing in some way. We're all having a good time. Now we're just people that are talking. No, we weren't.
Nuh-uh,
I was a person
there.
That was talking.
Yeah, so we learned a lot that day. Because, like, for example, when I impersonate John Walton, I like John Walton a lot. You follow me? When I impersonate Glenn Consor, I like Glenn Consor a lot. I just happen to be able to do the voice. Anyway, there are other people that I also impersonate that I think are emblematic of everything that's wrong with the franchise that I love. And you are, you know, you're not necessarily the cause, but you're the wart on the top of the skin that I see. Right? So, like, yeah. That wasn't out of flattery. You know what I mean? I wasn't saying all those things because I thought he was doing a bang-up job.
I thought you still could have said hello.
I did. I said hello, and then I looked right down, waited for it to be over. That is a fair assessment.
But that was my night last night. Was, why do you hate the 533
so much? Why do you hate
much?
533 so much?
Like, I don't know, man. I just think it's a bad bit. It's like, we played your clip, you know.
Oh, that's so hard. Oh, God. Oh,
it was
tough. No.
It was tough. Devin McCourty, a former Patriots great, Super Bowl champion, who's a media mogul at this point, going to be joining us next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Live from New Orleans, Grant and Danny with you on The Fan. Thanks much for making the show part of your day. We know you've got lots of options. We're taking you up to 6:30. We'll be joined by Dan Orlovsky of ESPN coming up at 6 o'clock this evening. We'll get his thoughts on the incredible rookie season of Jaden Daniels. I want to dive into how he improves in year two, areas of his game where he can make a leap, and how he can avoid the pitfalls of regression or any kind of a step backwards. You know, C.J. Stroud, everybody thought was locked and loaded for what was going to be a monster second season, and obviously, you know, he took a small step back. So we'll talk to Orlovsky about that coming up at 6 this evening on The Fan. Vernon Davis, former Redskins star, is going to be with us as well. We're going to be tracking down Devin McCourty of the New England Patriots, the last dynasty of sorts in the NFL before the Chiefs, coming up in just a few minutes here on Grant and Danny. You know, Kansas City, Danny's trying to do something that's never happened before. They are trying to win a third consecutive Super Bowl. New England got close. We were talking yesterday to Moose Johnston.
Yeah, they had three
and four. The Cowboys
went,
they went back-to-back and then got to an NFC title game and lost in a game in which they just had a terrible first 7 minutes, were down 21-0, and then played really well after. And then the next year, they won the Super Bowl again. So you're talking about maybe three-peat, four-peat for them if San Francisco didn't knock them out of the NFC title game. But I think about this with the Patriots guys like McCourty out here on Radio Row. You know, I wonder if they're, even if they're not admitting it, maybe rooting against Kansas City just because they weren't able to do what the Chiefs are on the verge of doing.
Yeah, natural thing, right? I mean, there's no right way to hold a record. Some people begrudge it. They get mad, you know, and at somebody that, like, won't actively say, yes, I want my record to be broken. I don't do that. Like, it's yours. It's right up at the top, you know? Like, that's a cool thing. You can be the answer to a trivia question. You can be instrumental in that process. Or you can say, you know what, I did what I did. It was pretty great. Nothing changes that. Nothing diminishes it. I don't begrudge anybody's attitude towards it, especially somebody that was part of, you know, that level of dominance like McCourty or like Moose Johnston.
It is just stunning to think that a team could win three in a row. Now that we've seen Washington's run, and you see that they have to go on the road to Tampa, toss-up game, then you're going on the road to Detroit, heavy underdog. The win was unbelievable. You can make the case, arguably, the most impressive, important win for the team in three decades. Then you had to go to Philadelphia. You got bludgeoned. But if you win that game, now you got to go beat the best the AFC has to offer at the end of that gauntlet. And you do all that just to win one. Now, I know that's the hardest, most arduous path because you're a wild card who's got to go, you know, the longest way around the block. But I think, if anything, this year has just kind of been a realization for me that it's so hard to win.
Just so hard. It's just so hard.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, think of some of these great teams. The way how, well, the Ravens are constructed, nothing to show for it. The Bills, nothing to show for it. The Bengals, who got there when they were healthy enough. I mean, that's the amount of good fortune you have to have in addition to being great. The timing has to work out. Like, you can't have that key injury at that time down the stretch. Otherwise, you can't make it.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. We are joined now by Devin McCourty, the tremendous Pro Bowl talent, three-time Super Bowl champion, who was a part of that Patriots dynasty. So we'll tag you in here. I was just opining. I want to get your thoughts. And maybe you don't admit it publicly, right? Back of your head, though, is any part of you kind of root against the Chiefs because New England didn't get three in a row and then they would?
I don't, man. I've actually really enjoyed what they do. And, again, everything they're doing gives me a platform to talk because I got to be in New England and see all the things that we were able to do as a team. But they already did something we couldn't do. Like, they went back-to-back. And I know for me, separate in, I take what I got to do in New England. I don't take the kind of whole. Those other guys went back-to-back before us, but we lost when we had a chance to go back-to-back.
Do you appreciate it more, do you think?
Yes.
Just because, like, we were just talking. In Washington, we didn't do the playoff coverage thing for years and years. Now that we just saw you beat Tampa, you beat Detroit, then you went to Philly, then you got to play. Winning one is so damn hard.
Yes.
To three in a row, it's unfathomable.
And that's the thing. Like, I fully understand of we went to some AFC championships and lost. They don't really do that. They go to AFC championship in Kansas City, they go to the Super Bowl. So to reset and, like, go back to, like, off-season training in April feels horrible. Like, I just finished, especially once you win a Super Bowl, you go do a few media things. By the time you get back home, it's like mid-February, almost the end of February. So you've been home or wherever for a month and a half, and you're like, you want us to go back to doing football again? So I understand that that's not an easy process to not only win, but to keep going back and back and back and back to the Super Bowl. It makes everything seem like I'm missing out on vacations or different things. But they understand this is a very unique opportunity and time. So to commit yourself to that, I just see that, and I'm just like, man, that's awesome what they're able to do.
What are the similarities, Devin, for you, just as an observer who played for some of those great Patriots teams, with what you guys did and were doing in the program and how you run it? And Kansas City, what are some of the things that are the same? But maybe more importantly, what's different about those teams?
Man, I think a lot of what I see is you have this great head coach and you have this quarterback who are phenomenal, and they will steal all the headlines. That's what everybody's going to talk about. But what's very similar is if you go down the line, their team and our team, there's some key core players on both sides of the ball that make it work. When I look at a guy like Joe Tooney on offense, his ability to go from left guard out to left tackle, not bat an eye, not complain, just go out there and do it. I look at guys like Justin Reed, Nick Bolton, Chris Jones on defense. Like, through the middle of your defense, you have these veteran guys. When I was in New England, we had guys like Vince Wilfork, Dante Hightower, myself at safety, Patrick Chung. Those are the similarities. I think the differences are they've been able, for the most part, to keep a lot of their coaching staff the same. And I know, like, Matt Nagy left, and then you had Bieniemy, but because Andy Reid really calls the play, you've been able to have that. Steve Spagnuolo's been there. When I was in New England, we had a time where Matt Patricia left. Then Brian Flores, like, we had different moments. And when you think about the first dynasty, the Romeo Crennels and all of those people, Josh McDaniels left and then came back. We had to continue to win with different people in the coaching staff, which is hard to do. Them being able to keep those same guys in is people don't understand how special that is, to have guys that want to stay there and not take every opportunity, and how much that helps the players.
Devin McCourty, 13 seasons with the Patriots, and now a media mogul. That guy is killing the game.
Mogul, that's a strong word. I don't know about that.
NBC Sports is number one watch football, Night in America. Of course, Westwood One, you're going to be all over the pre- and post-coverage of the Super Bowl. You look so much like a recent guest we had on, Jason McCourty.
How bad was he, though?
Honestly, it wasn't as good as you.
You don't want to really have him on around this time of year because this is about winning championships. He went to the playoffs. He went to the playoffs twice in his career. One time he went to the Super Bowl. I don't know he won it. Good for him. But, like, this is about guys who are, like, winners
this
at heart.
This is Super Bowl champion time.
Yeah. So, like, back when Washington was bad, bring him on.
Right.
Times have changed.
Yeah,
we don't need guys like him.
We had him on during Washington's three-game losing streak.
Exactly.
And we were like, great time. Hey, you've been in a lot of these. How can they get out of this?
He went 0-16 as a player.
That's embarrassing.
And
we all know it was his fault. Right?
A lot of it, and the guy doesn't thank me enough. He's out there in Cleveland. They go 0-16. After I told him before to don't go to Cleveland, he goes anyway. Then after, I still had, you know, a good heart and said, hey, if you get out of Cleveland, I'll get you to New England. Get the guy out of Cleveland, get him New England, and get him a Super Bowl championship.
And
everywhere,
then what does he do?
Everywhere he goes, he talks bad about me.
I don't understand
it.
A couple of twin brothers who are just killing it in the media. But I want to pivot to DC for our listening audience for a second. So We debate this a little bit on the show. Do you think they were super hot, or do you think they were that good? In other words, going into next year, if they have a strong offseason, is that an NFC Championship game caliber team, or was that just kind of a fun ride?
No, it's an NFC caliber team. Why?
You think so?
You got the quarterback. Again, having just a quarterback is not enough. Not having a quarterback will give you no shot. And now when you have a quarterback, you can now say, hey, we can add right here a little bit. All right, we can do something over here a little bit. Hey, how do we make our run defense better? We can prioritize that. When you don't have a quarterback, all your other needs, they just seem so far away because you're like, we don't have a damn quarterback. Until we get that, we have no shot. And I think all I kept hearing about was Dan Quinn came in, and before they got going on anything, he was big on building the culture. And when you build a culture, it's built on now having a certain level and a standard to what you're doing and winning. And I think that's now what they are going to be built on, winning. This standard is to be met day in and day out. Will it guarantee you back in the NFC Championship? No, it doesn't guarantee that. Other teams are going to get better too. But I think for the foreseeable future, as long as Jaden Daniels is healthy, if I'm a Commanders fan, I expect to be in this conversation every year with a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
That's pretty fun. It's different.
Yeah. So we could have through our ears.
Yeah, we could ask your brother, like, hypothetically, what would it be like to win? But we can ask you, what is it like?
Yeah, exactly.
If you won, what would you have done?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
How would you have celebrated?
Absolutely. Did you guys ever do, like, a go-to-each-other's classes bit? Like, you are the twins that I think, even when we played a game, if I'm being honest, in the studio of, like, which McCourty is this after we had your brother on? It's so hard. Like, can you tell the difference?
We don't think we look alike.
Seriously.
If you see if you see our kids' pictures, you'll be like, "Holy, those guys look alike."
Yeah.
Now it's like even we did a Netflix game, Christmas game.
It was awesome, yeah.
And they put up our pictures that we were going to be on, and people were like, "Those are twins. They don't look alike."
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Like people were like,
"I guarantee there's like family members of yours at reunions or whatever that doesn't say."
Well,
your
Coach Belichick doesn't know the difference between
that's
us.
That's the least surprising thing
he
I've ever heard.
He does not know the difference.
Would he just say McCourty?
No. He call both of us Devin. You don't just say McCourty. You know one is better. You go with Devin. Make him happy.
The better brother. Well, we appreciate the time. I hope this isn't too uncomfortable. You're very handsome.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, look at this guy.
I agree with that. I agree with that assessment, yeah.
Yeah, you can't really see on the camera, but, like, you get the award for just, like, when you look at me, there's, like, a melting
You didn't tell
happening.
Jason this, though, right?
No, he wasn't in person.
Okay, oh.
Yeah, and also, I don't know if he's as handsome as
he's
he.
Not.
I'll be honest.
He's not.
Even
he's
though he
not.
Looks just like you.
My wife tells me that all the time.
Yeah.
She would have never picked him.
My wife's going to be salty when I talk about how handsome you are later. Yeah. Thank you. We appreciate you stopping through.
No, appreciate you having
seriously,
me.
Seriously, love watching
this
all
has been the
endeavors.
Best one so far.
Oh, well, yeah. You've told everyone that, but
no,
we
no,
appreciate
no.
you.
Luckily, I haven't only been to one. Like, I'm telling the truth.
Well, thank you, buddy. It's good catching up. There's Devin McCourty. Listen to him on Westwood One this weekend. Redskins great Vernon Davis at 5:45. We're taking you up to 6:30 on The Fan.